Hello everybody, and welcome to the new UK radio show. My name is Kevin Smith, and I have all sorts of things to share with you today. So, let us begin. I was just rereading New Book One by Dwayne, the great writer. The part where he, as a young boy, was about to be attacked by a pack of wolves. But help was at hand, coming in the form of giant eagles, and his safety was assured. The giant eagles came to Dwayne's aid, as he and all those who make the connection to the real universes will have the protection of the real universal guides. And it transpired, one of the giant eagles turned out, in fact, to be Reba's Tars, utilizing the ability to transform into whatever he chooses as situations demand and circumstances dictate. Naturally, the guides do not use such talents and abilities frivolously or recklessly. They always operate from a place of purity and beingness, and all their actions will make sense with the whole of life and the benefit of all. And protection of the new students would fall under this category. And should the guides tog up a little cause and effect in creation, as they manipulate it for the purposes of support, protection, and sharings, they know how to deal with it and work it off. They are uncontainable, unrestrained, and free beings of pure light, and nothing can restrict them. I had a dream very recently where I was attacked too on the real side. My attackers would be in the form of bugs, insects, and creepy crawly things. They were relentless and seemed I was unable to fend them off myself. It seems the guides will give new students space to extricate themselves from their own predicaments and those that others impose adversely upon them. For the dark forces and much of creation detests all those who would want to escape the clutches of it. The Callum God will periodically send his minions and lackeys to assault the individuals daring to defy his authority. In a way, this can be construed as a positive thing, as we better learn how to handle ourselves in any situation and bring forth abilities and defense mechanisms we never knew we possessed. But always the guides are near, and will step in if we are overwhelmed. And the instigators of the attacks on new students especially face extreme karma. In my bug dream, suddenly a large rat entered the scene, and all the critters retreated. Excuse me. And it guarded me while I remained there. Initially, I assumed it was maybe an individual that was perhaps a friend of mine, maybe from another life, and saw an opportunity to assist. But now, after reacquainting myself with Dwayne's plight in New Book One, and reminding me then that one of the saving eagles was a guide, it suggests a similar possibility, that of the rat being a guide too, assuming the form of a rodent and protecting me. After all, this rat was extra large, the size of a dog, and was constantly changing the colour of its fur. Not your atypical garden variety rat, then, I would say. So, this would be along the lines of shapeshifting. The guides demonstrating this, as they transform at will into eagles and possibly even oversized rodents, as they protect the new friends on their bumpy road to the all is. The physical level is generally far more rigid and unmalleable, in part mainly because of the agreement that it is so. The constructed consciousnesses of all physical individuals with their limited perspectives and lack of imagination, and are controlled and indoctrinated into being so also. Although shape-shifting is indeed possible on the physical level, and has been and is a practice throughout the epochs of physical level existence. In the past, it was easier to an extent. Before the layers upon layers of programming and agreed upon indoctrinations restricted individuals more and more into smaller boxes and perceptions of what is possible. And as we have learned from New Book 7, werewolves do indeed exist. They are the minions, generally, of the dark forces. And lycanthropy is a real phenomena, and people can be infected thus, and yes, beware wolfified. On the levels beyond the physical, things move more so by thought, and so it is far easier to assume any form one desires. Many people who do pass over, if their view an agreed upon state of awareness is very lacking, they will be unaware that they can do such things, and so can be as contained and limited as they are on the physical. A little like in that movie, What Dreams May Come, when Robin Williams had to be taught how he could imagine anything into existence, houses and cups of tea, etc. But without such knowledge, he would simply have assumed he could not manipulate the environment in this manner. I found this too for myself. I can assume any form I wish to, particularly in a dream where I am very aware. On one occasion, I entered a kind of shopping mall, and all the individuals there were shuffling around and drone-like in the midst of their tedious duties. So, to snap them out of their routine and zombification, I turned into a big hairy beast and rampaged about the store, wrecking the place. It certainly got their attention and gave them a moment of pause. Also, as we know, reptilians have mastered this ability, the shape-shifting, and do so on all levels of creation. They can assume human forms on the physical. And so, the next time you see the Queen of England and are hoodwinked into thinking she is a sweet old delicate lady, she can at any moment turn into a 7-foot lizard. Princess Diana, who was murdered by the royals, referred to the Queen and others as the crocodile people in her diaries. So it's safe to assume she witnessed their reptilian forms firsthand. The reptilians also can shapeshift into people we know for the purposes of diversion and misdirection. to place seeds of doubt in our minds, as they quite merrily assume the form of, say, Dwayne, or the guide, and engage us in such a way in our dreams that we might turn from the presentation. I've had experiences too of this type, as have many, a few rather disturbing ones, as the reptilians stop at nothing to put us off. Not a shameful race, they. And it's very easy to determine the deception. Generally, the real awareness will kick in and sound alarm bells. So, on the subject of shapeshifting, how does it actually work on the physical level when it does? How does a physical body change its form to something completely different? And therein lies the answer. Bodies, and indeed the physical level of creation and all the life levels, are not physical or solid. Everything is a simulation for the purposes of comparison, experience, and to become more aware and recognize the is. It is, in effect, a holographic computer game, if you will. The physical body is an electromagnetic energy field, as everything else is in creation. It is a frequency, and each frequency is unique. And so, unlimited holographic projections from that which is decoded from the base frequency is possible. And scientists will tell you that everything in the physical world is made up of atoms, and atoms are just packets of energy. They are empty space. And if the building blocks of life are empty space, electromagnetic energy packets, then everything that is made from them is empty space too. So, when you regard an individual, your decoding apparatus, your vehicle senses, are taking in the information from the electromagnetic field you are observing and decoding it into a form in your mind, the individual standing before you. And so, everything you see is in fact in a tiny part of your brain, like a little monitor in your head, like watching a computer game on a monitor. An entire world displayed on the monitor screen, all that apparent space and time contained on the screen at the same time. And it's just our limited vehicle decoding mechanisms that can only process so much at a time. Were it more advanced, it could decode more at any given moment. But as humans, we can only perceive it in bite-sized chunks. So we have the illusion of space and time, as our brains place what we see, or decode, into a linear sequence with a beginning, a middle, and an end. Our vehicles are serial processors, and if we collectively agree then to the passage of time and space, we become the effects of it, we age, etc. And we are constantly reminded of time, and have the contention of time reinforced. Always reminders of the time, from clocks to calendars, etc. And birthdays, as I have one coming up. Experiments have shown that if you place individuals somewhere where they have no access to the time, they will age physically less or more according to how much time they have assumed has passed, and then they will age according to that. So anyway, if an individual stands before me, they have a unique electromagnetic energy field. I then decode it, and they appear in my brain as a human, or, say, a reptilian, depending on the frequency. Any change to the frequency, and we decode the individual now differently. Distorted frequencies will alter an individual's frequency field. Now, when I decode the person before me, the person with a distorted electromagnetic frequency field, they may appear to look very sickly or deformed, as an example. So what are the reptilians doing when they shapeshift? They have the ability to alter the electromagnetic energy signature of their field, and so making changes to it will have it decoded differently by the observer, and thus they will be in a different form. Evidently, the reptilians have mastered how to do this, and are experts in knowing exactly what to change about their waveform, energy field frequency, to bring about the desired change in their decoded form. We are shapeshifting all the time throughout our lives, from small people to bigger people to older people. What is that, if not an alteration in our base energetic state, to have us decoded in these changing states of appearance? The only reason most can't do this at will is because we are programmed to be limited, and what we believe or agree to is the world that we create for ourselves and then the experiences we have. The indoctrination and programming of today is of such a literal-based, imagination-constricting variety. It's little wonder this ability isn't more common, and indeed, it is scoffed at and ridiculed as impossible. I was actually racking my brains about what to speak about on this radio show. It's funny how sometimes you can flow with ease, and others you have what one may term as writer's block. It's almost like you have to force the flow at times, like sucking up overly thick milkshake through one of those extremely curly novelty straws. I can put this down to several things, potentially. Certainly, the Wi-Fi and 5G electromagnetic distortions that are daily impacting our physical vehicles can be held accountable. The UK, like many places in the world, are preparing to suffer the effects of 20,000 satellites poised to beam an inescapable blanket of microwave radiation upon us all. It may as well be referred to as a death ray. And even though they, to my knowledge, the satellites, have not been brought online as yet, various cities across the UK and the US, etc., are becoming 5G encased areas, and the effects are being experienced. I imagine they are testing the technology through random and sporadic bursts of 5G, distributed lovingly at various targets. I wouldn't say I was hyper-electrosensitive, but I can feel the difference. My house is in fact a Wi-Fi dead zone. Confused were the technicians when they were unable to install the Wi-Fi in my home and had to resort to Ethernet cables. And really, that is no bad thing considering. My place of work, my 9-to-5 cabal job that I need until I am aware enough to not need it, is swimming in Wi-Fi too, as most places publicly are. Although we do need to be realistic. We need to support ourselves and work with the reptilian system to survive. But with our focus securely on the is and the recognition of it, and our real intent set and established, and we are recognizing our real awareness and endeavoring to become more aware, then having a cabal job for the time being isn't too much of a cause for concern. It might well be, should we have had no awareness or recognition of it, knowledge or recognition of the is, then all we would have would be our personal lives and our jobs, and then we would be severely limiting ourselves to cause and effect creation resultingly. With the connection to the is established, the sincerity unquestionable, then eventually we will surpass creation, and the lower vehicles we utilize in the psych realms will simply drop away. Any karma cause and effect we have created, because regardless of our real intent and awareness and focus, we will cause effects. These effects will be handled. The guides, in fact, do take on karmic debt of sincere, focused individuals. They appreciate the fact that in creation, we are going to create and exact effects some way or another. We are driving cars. Well, some of us, me included, yes. Adding to the pollution, and our cabal jobs play a part in the overall demise of the planet. But we can work to mitigate our impact as much as we are able. Anyway, for a time, at my place of work, they were unable to activate the Wi-Fi for a time, but then they found the fault, corrected it, and thus we were all then able to bask in the soothing rays of vehicle-destroying cancer-inducing radiation. And I experienced the differences immediately. It was like suddenly wading through treacle. Every action now took extra effort, expending more energy, and I had more fatigue as a result. Headaches and various other symptoms were suddenly affecting me. Yet the moment I would walk outside, the heaviness would lift. It was very tangible, and outside of the Wi-Fi zone, I was revitalized. At the moment, the radiation Wi-Fi waves are contained to buildings, but with the advent of 5G, there is nowhere to hide. The stronger the radiation, the shorter the wave. So they need to have extreme quantities of booster devices and technology inserted every so many feet of space. And as I was saying, I can feel the difference between a Wi-Fi area and places absent of it. I can say quite confidently that in my town, and probably others, we are being blasted with extra levels of microwaves. What's alarming is how one gets used to Wi-Fi fields and adapts as best one is able. As they continue to roll out this stuff, it's very likely those that can adapt the best will be the survivors, although it's not a very enviable world they will be surviving in. And another occurrence I might well associate with the sporadic 5G testing may well be my blankness of memory at times, my inability to put together streams of thought and focus on writing, etc. Of course, it's all about awareness, and our vehicles that we have created and animated to experience the psych realms have nothing to do with the real awareness. As awareness and recognition of the real universes is beyond the limited, though essential for experience and comparison, vehicles on the five levels of creation. But naturally, it's not then encouraged to eat ice cream all day and go swimming in dragon-infested lava. We do need these vehicles until we don't. And part of our experience here, how we earn our way with the is sharing. And so, if our vehicle is compromised to the extent that we can't share effectively, blank mind syndrome, agitation, and anything that causes us additional discomfort will have us focusing more so on our physical vehicle than the connection to the real you that is beyond creation. But when it comes to sharing, it isn't just on the physical level that we can do this. We share throughout creation. If the real you gets all five bodies under control and with the program, then they will all be running around and sharing too, on the levels they reside in. It's a case of the real you convincing the five lower bodies to get on board, or they will be rambling about and living seemingly subjective lives. It makes sense that as we stack the levels and the vehicles we have within them, then each vehicle will be more aware than those that are below it. But our vehicle in, say, the physical or the astral level will not be aware of what's going on with those above it. It's quite funny how it works. We effectively have five little created selves running hither and thither on their respective levels, with the real you as the creator of them trying to get their attention. Of course, the real you is. And so, it is in a state of completeness. And so, it makes no sense that it must then prove and reveal itself to the lower vehicles, much like the is. It won't prove and reveal itself. It will, of course, endlessly give hints and experiences and in dreams and on the physical, but it is up to the personal little self to recognize and perceive the is. It is a choice each individual must make. The stacking of the levels and the vehicles is just for the literal interpretation too, as we are so very literalized. We cannot grasp or consider what the is without it being formed into a literal reference. In fact, there are no levels, ups, downs, highers, lowers, as these are all literal interpretations for the personal self to grasp. The physical level is all about opposites. The real universes and the is. And nothing can be added to it, no idea or thought. It is pure in its isness, so what can be added to that? The lower vehicles, then, do not have the facility to recognize the is. They are designed to experience the creation simulation, and that is all. Thus, you cannot utilize the vehicles to fathom out the is. You can't consider it. You can't think what it is, or feel what it is. You can only perceive it and recognize it with your real awareness. It is your real awareness that is beyond the creation realms and with the is, and that is the only thing you can recognize it with. Many people will try and figure it out, but you can't, because you're using your mental vehicle to do this. It is a process, and it takes the time it will, according to the created consciousness and self-imposed restrictions and limitations decided by the personal self. So first we have the knowledge, the references to the is, then we must recognize it through awareness. The lower vehicles each have their specific function. They can only do what they are designed for and operate within the life levels they are aligned with. The real you overviews creation and its little vehicles it has within each. So yes, some of the vehicles may be unaware of the others, but the real you is aware of them all. The way to recognize the is more so then is to let go of all that which prevents one from doing so. Yes, we have to drag these pesky bodies about, all five of them, but when we make the connection to our real awareness, we are no longer only utilizing these created vehicles. For without the connection, all we will be doing is feeling and thinking predominantly. We create ideas, we chase thrills, we create and cling to attitudes. We attach emotional ideas to the situations that we find ourselves in, and all of it keeps us restricted to the psych realms. For if you only ever stimulate and utilize the vehicles in creation, the effects you cause will be a confinement to the levels these vehicles dwell within. A connection then to the real universes and the is will have us focusing now beyond cause and effect creation. And as the scales are tipped more so in favour of our focus with the is, as opposed to our personal lives, then we are positioning ourselves more so in the real universes, and ultimately we will walk through creation and into the true reality of light and sound. So as the process continues, according to the extent... So as the process continues, according to the extent to which we focus on it and activate our real awareness, the agreements and tap lines will drop away also. It's prudent to practice the state of awareness too. Stop thinking and stop feeling, and what do you see? Everything is still there. Excuse me. So life exists irrespective of your thoughts and feelings that you've added to it, and the vehicles these qualities are associated with. This is the state of being you need to perceive the is, absent of thoughts, feelings, and the like. You are now with your real awareness. So yes, practice this state and learn to be objective. Dwayne refers to this as the objective view. Start to regard yourself, your thoughts and emotions objectively. Don't get involved or immersed with them. For yes, as long as we have these vehicles, we will have thoughts and feelings. They are going nowhere until we drop the vehicles. But we can simply be, and objectively watch the thoughts and emotions without drowning in them. Paul Twitchell spoke of the five bodies like little soldiers. You can watch them dance and play and do all the things they do from a perspective of real awareness. You will find too that the dreams will begin to take on a different quality as you continue your process of is recognition and the connection to your real awareness. You will still have real side dreams where you are in a role within the script of a scene for the purposes of becoming more aware, but you will start to have dreams where you are still in these roles, but are observing them as though from outside the experience. I've been having experiences of this nature in more recent times, and I certainly was not having them initially, where I am objectively observing myself in my dreams while I have these experiences. And so then, you are in a state of real awareness. And from there, you can decipher the dreams more effectively. For it is far easier sometimes to explain someone else's dreams than your own. For that reason, then, generally, we are trying... Yes, because generally in dreams we are trying to understand dreams literally. The literal part of us is that which we have created and been indoctrinated with, where we can't perceive beyond that which we see with our physical senses. So naturally, we will try to determine a dream's meaning by what we see and according to our personal little selves, drawing upon the references we have at our disposal. The references being somewhat limited, as generally they are the memories and experiences we have had on the physical life level only. And so we try to fit what we experience into a little box we have labelled as our literal self, our literal life and self. But always behind the dream is something real, as the real you is that which the five vehicles stems from, as the is that which all of creation stems from. So it is with dreams. Behind the dream is something else, a hidden something beyond what the dream is showing you, that your literal self and your other vehicles have not the tools to decipher. Only your real awareness can fully dissect the meaning of the dreams you have, as they are demonstrations by the guides and the is, and they only operate from a place of being isness. So one must see beyond the surface of the dreams and not get involved in trying to figure them out with the mind, or to add emotional reaction to the experience. An objective, indifferent, disinterested view, point of view is then encouraged to try and perceive what it is the dream is trying to convey. As an example, I had a dream, pardon me, where I crashed my car and I was unable to go to work that day. My literal self would have simply seen that I had crashed my car and now I can't go to work, and that would be all. But putting to one side the literal self, being in the nowness and connecting to one's real awareness and perceiving it, impressions will float in from the real you. On this occasion, then, the car represented my physical body, and it was suggesting that if I keep going to work, I'm going to suffer some kind of illness or body breakdown that will not allow me to continue to do so. So, on this occasion, the dream was a heads up, but it had to be recognized just like the is. The is and the real side dreams are all about recognition through our real awareness. So, yes, I have found that I am now starting to occasionally objectively view my dreams from outside of the role that I am playing within them. And this then demonstrates that not only am I then in my state of awareness on the real side, but I can also glean the information, sharings, and demonstrations that the real guides are providing more effectively. So it's worth making a study on the five bodies, how they work, and what they do. But realistically, it's only the mental level 4 and emotional level 2 bodies we need to concern ourselves with. The causal body is the seat of all our previous incarnations, a storehouse of all our lives that affect us to this very day. Because even if we have a new vehicle, our created consciousness is the culmination of all we have experienced and agreed to. Yes, our vehicles are new, but our created consciousness remains and is constantly added to in each lifetime. Old ideas from millions of lifetimes ago can have secured our agreements and, unless dissolved or redacted, The agreements remain to this day. Think of all those millions of lifetimes of agreements sitting wedged in your causal body. That is what Dwayne means when he says we must face all of ourselves and creation. We must face all that we have consciously created for ourselves. That is still affecting and restricting us to this day. So, with the connection to the ears and the new you song, which facilitates this connection, we agree to have these old restrictions and agreements removed. We must agree, or it won't be so, or violation of our free will would be the case. And some people will cling onto old restrictions, almost like a comfort blanket, until they are ready to release them. So, in our dreams, we will see many past lives and all sorts of experiences that are peculiar and make little sense to the little self. But these are likely flashbacks to old lifetimes where these limiting agreements to ideas were made, and our attention is brought to them, that we can now agree to remove them. It's like this. Someone has an idea in creation, and if we agree to it, we become restricted by it and taplined. If the idea only references creation, and the intent of the individual isn't real or referencing the is, this would account for most of the ideas then in creation. In fact, one might go on to say, practically, if not all of them. All the ideas included in politics, religion, spirituality, and science. In fact, absolutely everything. The only agreement that doesn't hamper us is if the idea, though still a reference, references the real universes beyond creation. Then we are agreeing to ideas outside of creation, and so we won't be confined by cause and effect to creation, as cause and effect can only be found in creation. And the intent of the individual is important too. If their intent is pure and sincere, and if the references they are using are for the benefit of the individual in terms of awareness and the perception of the is. If that is the case, then we won't get stuck. We won't be controlled and restricted by the ideas they present. So, it's well worth looking on the real side to determine an individual's intent and who they really are. Because on the real side, the masks are removed, the individual made apparent, and deception easily determined. In fact, if an individual's intent is pure, with the is and the presenting of it, they can actually use old references and ideas from creation, even religious or spiritual ones. Paul Twitchell did just this, easing people into the Ekankar teachings by making references to such things. Because the created consciousness of humanity at that time was such that it could not have accepted the is without being introduced to it through familiar old ideas and references. So, the causal body will therefore take care of itself. The tap lines, the agreements, and attachments will be dealt with accordingly, so we need not concern ourselves overly with that. Yes, it's interesting to see past lives, but only from a reference perspective. References are just that. They reference what they do, but they are not the reality of it. If we cling on to past lives and what we may have done, and yes, we have all been scallywags and vagabonds, And yes, we have all been reptilians and everything in between. Then we will restrict ourselves again if we cling to these old lifetimes. It doesn't matter what you may have done. Every moment is new now. It's always a new moment. And it's only the individual that chooses to remain fixated on part of the simulated literal timeline of lives gone by. Excuse me. The ears looks upon all indifferently, despite what people do. Even the most evil of the controllers. For how can it be any other way? It is an isness, and beyond considerations, judgments, and condemnations, just like the sun shining as a demonstration. Does the sun have resentment and disdain for people's deeds? Creation is simply a simulator for experience and comparison. To perceive what the ears is, one must determine what it is not. And all the experiences are just that, necessary experiences to this end. And whatever we choose to decide to do or to be is of no concern to the is. The cause and effect nature of the dualistic psych realms that this simulated training ground is takes care of all we do. What we choose, good or bad, we will experience the effects of it. Until such time as we cease creating and causing in the psych realms, and we connect to our real awareness and move beyond the self-perpetuated cycles of reincarnation. Programming goes on too in the subconscious. We have our created consciousness based on programming and agreements throughout the ages, and still further bombardment from all the subliminal and various other means by which we can be restricted. But again, with the new you song and the real connection and the guides, a connection that supersedes creation, we are no longer subconsciously programmed through it, unless we choose to be. So the only thing we need concern ourselves with is the emotional astral body and the mental mind body. So, with thoughts and feelings, get them under control. Or, the constant activation and stimulation of them will act as filters that cloud your access to your real awareness. Everything in this world is designed for one purpose, that is control and keeping us in creation. Everything we see is designed as a distraction to hijack our focus and attention, and by doing so, then we are consenting our agreement, and we are accordingly taplined and restricted again. And constantly, our emotional vehicles are stimulated too. We have the distracting and focus-grabbing information broadcasted at us from every conceivable angle, and then we are incited to react emotionally. The atrocities and things we are shown, and the feel-good, emotionally stimulating material that a lot of the alternative researchers provide, will keep us only in a state of restriction and limit us to the physical and astral. And so, the emotional response will again restrict us and muddy the view to our real awareness. As harsh as things are, they are all just experiences in a simulation, and so, far better is it to adopt an indifferent perspective to everything we experience. Easier said than done. The physical, emotional self will always react. But we can more so get it under control and B, the disinterested view. Many times, people have asked Dwayne, where is the love? But love is like any emotion. It is a restricting quality of the emotional vehicle that we choose to add to an experience. We see an experience, it is there. As all experiences are for us to become more aware from, as anything in creation can be used for experience purposes, then the experience, then we add thoughts and ideas to the experience and considerations. We colour it in further by referencing what we know in this lifetime and relating the experience accordingly. Then we add emotion like a cherry on top. Take all of that away and indifferently view the experience with your real awareness. And this is a good practice to realistically maintain throughout the day, as life is constantly showing us what is real now, but we must see it, recognize it, and perceive what it is absent of thought, emotion, and preconceived and created agreed to ideas. So when I hear information about Trump suddenly being a good guy, that he is playing the long game, that he is secretly working against the cabal to bring down the system, we ought to consider what is going on here. In light of what I have already said, the whole of creation is about control and keeping us in it, and that this is done through distractions and focus on that which is happening in creation. The controllers have positioned all those who serve the Kalam God, whether these individuals know it or not, in such a way to have maximum impact on preventing individuals from leaving creation. They have given them the platforms, the exposure, as they own everything, including all media platforms, and they've given them the incentive by giving these awareness-lacking scallywags more treats and trinkets than the slaves they control. There is little likeliness that anyone that assumes the position of the president at this time in human history, as an example, has not been bought off. Trump and all the leading political figures who are in a position to bring about the most impact on society are reptilians, Trump certainly, and they are all compromised. Even should they decide to defect against the cabal, the controllers have information and dirt on them that would be in the very least embarrassing, at the very most shocking and outrageous. Yes, I've no doubt the guides are and do approach these individuals, for there can be no better an individual placed that can broadcast the is and what's real than those who are presidents and the like and enjoy unprecedented airtime. So if, for argument's sake, Trump is working, in fact, with the guides, the continued murder of millions in Yemen and the slaughter of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip are still occurring on his watch, and he is all in favour of 5G and has announced recently the rollout of 6G beyond even that. Does he really have our interests at heart if he is on board promoting and permitting the rollout of this lethal technology? There are some highly placed individuals who are seemingly in opposition of 5G. The president of Belgium, for example, is halting the rollout of 5G, and he openly speaks of his concerns regarding it. And so we can surmise that yes, the guides have approached, and successfully so, perhaps, certain key individuals, but it is always their choice to agree, and to what extent that they do. Personally, I feel Trump is still working for the controllers, but anything is possible, and people can at any time make different decisions and choices. But I wonder why all these individuals who are working with the guides, these high rank and file politicians, then make no mention of the ears. They do have the world listening after all. I wouldn't expect them to drop an information bombshell on the world regarding the real universes, but surely a few choice words here and there. We will see in time, but for now, I would suggest it's just theatre for the masses. Keep everyone engaged and focused on creation, and keep them emotionally charged, because regardless of what is being presented by the presidents and the individuals on the big stage, be it positive or negative, if it isn't referencing the ears or the real universes, then it is just ideas in creation. And the agreement to them, despite what side of the fence they fall, be they good or bad, they are still seizing our attention, our agreement, and the cause and effect consequences will be experienced. For remember, the only reason we are here is to recognize the real universes and the ears and leave creation behind. Anything that happens in creation is simply experience to that end. But everyone demonstrates themselves, so it's a case of seeing what individuals do. So, yes, we can make the world a better place, and ultimately, if the created consciousness collectively was such that it no longer was in agreement to the destruction of creation, then this would be fine. Far better to live in a clean, unpolluted world. But it is still creation, and our real intent is to leave it. And the objective of the Callum and all the forces he commands is to keep us in it. Perhaps the Callum may be recognizing this, that the extent to which we are becoming aware is exacerbated by the state of the deteriorating world we find ourselves in. Maybe he is then, through his minions, creating a better world, or planning to perhaps achieve this, no longer seeking to destroy it, but make a better spot, so individuals are contented and less inclined to leave. Naturally, there would still be a measure of control, his position maintained, but the shackles would be loosened a little. That many would therefore return to their personal lives and fantasy worlds to make a life for themselves in a passable, more acceptable simulation, with less inclination now to leave it. Perhaps the new presentation is becoming too impacting, so that to cause a mass cull might not necessarily be beneficial to the Callum after all. Up until now, without awareness, when we pass over, we are still in the designed matrix, and are regurgitated back into endless future lifetimes. So even with a mass extinction, we are still under his reptilian hand in the astral, unless we have the awareness to escape his clutches and the psych realms. Maybe then a far better scheme would be to set his minions a new directive, a new path. Maybe to play out the defeat of the controllers, the bankers and the globalists for all to see. The result possibly being then people more likely to forsake their real awareness and settle into a dawn of a new era, free from control, but in fact still controlled, and they are still in the matrix regardless, a cunning ploy, and possible, and it gives a whole new meaning to the phrase given as an alternative to the Golden Age, the Golden Cage. Incidentally, it's been spoken about how the awareness and the new you song is effectively creating an almost invisible pseudo-dimension within this life level, to the extent that when the 5G does roll out, it's likely the effects will be mitigated to a degree. So, the new you is certainly a cure-all, and very likely the means by which, coupled with the connection to the real awareness, may have us survive the 5G apocalypse. Have a little sip of water. Thank you. This is in keeping with dreams I have had of this nature. I would be with various groups of survivors in a sort of post-apocalyptic zombie world, and in some cases, robot worlds. That nanotechnology is prevalent in the food, the vaccinations and other delivery systems, and also in the chemtrails is well known. It seems one of the purposes of this is a potential robotization forced upon the masses. The 5G has interesting effects on nanotechnology. Labs have shown the nanotechnology to be activated when bathed in 5G, and it goes crawling all over the place and begins assembling itself into patterns and structures. So we can see the possibility of the 5G activating a cull of a population, a cull of a proportion of the population, but then a robotization of the rest, due to the activation of the nanoparticles induced by the microwaves. But then, a third group beyond that would be the new friends, with the awareness and the new you song that offsets both the lethal properties of the 5G and the activation and robotization process. Then naturally, the cyborg survivors, far more easily controlled and programmed, can effectively become metallic Manchurian candidates and hunt down the new friends. That is assuming they can do this. I saw these possibilities on the real side. I was with groups of unaffected but hunted survivors. When I say assuming they can find us, I wonder to the extent that should a kind of pocket reality be created within this existing reality for the new friends, might we not be then veiled from their sight? How many movies do we see where, for whatever reason, the monsters and robots hunting the survivors are limited in some regard? They are unable to see or hear them, as an example, a little like the movie The Quiet Place. In this movie, these critters, which were reptilian, interestingly enough, had wiped out most of humanity. But the only drawback to their ability to be completely effective in their humanity wiping out activities was that they could not hear. It was that they could only hear, they could not see. So naturally, the humans cottoned onto this and spent the entirety of the film being as quiet as possible to avoid detection. Possibly then, a movie demonstration of a kind of pseudo-dimension where generally the new friends are safe from detection. Many other films have a similar theme, I have found too. Also, in my real side dreams, I've had experiences where in these scenarios, the new friends acquire teleportation or body projecting capability. So it's possible that these might be little gifts. Our real selves provide the little selves to better survive. The real you knows what to do and how to handle anything. But you must connect with it, and that is why the scenarios described would not be viable for an individual unless they had connected to their real awareness and effectively passed the reins over to it. On the last episode, the last radio show I uploaded, I surmised a view, a pondering about what might happen to someone who forsakes their real awareness and the ears and turns back. I suggested it was likely that an individual who had begun the process had the awareness to initially do so, agitated the controllers along the way by sharing and assisting other slaves, would certainly draw the attention of the dark forces. This is a given, for every individual who begins their journey to the ears will irritate the Callum and the forces that wish to keep everyone in creation. New friends can expect interference and discouraging tactics, designed to scare and intimidate an individual into turning back. Fortunately, help is at hand with the guides and the protection the new song provides, and the controllers, who then attack new friends in particular, will receive harsh karmic cause and effect consequences that they must deal with. It is also, yes, our real awareness that is important. We can't rely on the guides alone to protect us. But from a position of real awareness, our real selves know just how to handle any situation. I've had dreams where this is so. On occasion, I can deal with monsters and dark forces if I allow my real self to take control of the situation and don't allow my personal little self to interfere with its limited ideas and perspectives and get in the way. On other occasions, when the situation was too extreme and beyond my ability to handle, due to my not being as connected to my real awareness, and so the little self interceded, and I am then at a loss with how to deal with the circumstances I was in, the guides would step in and assist me. What I pondered then was what happened if an individual turns back from the ears and returns to the personal little self and life. The guides will still be there, but less likely to step in and assist an individual who's only now interested in a created personal life, and as they begin to amass more cause and effects for themselves. It was suggested it is more the awareness that is the source of our protection. Yes, the guides are there, but it's the recognition of our real awareness that allows us to deal with any situation. Agreed. As demonstrated and validated in my real side experiences. But an individual who returns to their personal little lives, forgets all about the ears, will naturally sever the connection with their real awareness. So, the real awareness that would have afforded the protection more so than the guides is now disconnected, and all a person has is their personal created consciousness. And coupled with the addition of new cause and effect consequences, they are karmically setting themselves up for future problems. Now, the Callum God would be most displeased with a new student for daring to escape or attempt to do so his shackles, and also assisting others to do the same. But with the new Yu Song, the connection to real awareness, and the guides, the Callum was limited in what he could do. But now, the new student has turned away from the is more vulnerable, lacks awareness to handle situations, and yes, the guides are always around, and the connection can be re-established. But I can see the Callum exacting measures of revenge. Why? Because if an individual reached a point where they had the awareness to recognize enough of the ears to begin the journey to it, and in doing so they encourage others to do the same through their sharings, and even though they have turned from it, they are the individuals more likely to pick it up again in the future and encourage others to once again escape the matrix. The Callum would consider them to be troublemakers, or potential troublemakers. So again, I wasn't trying to cause concern or fear, it's just a view I feel is very likely. If one's protection is based mainly upon awareness that is no longer available if the connection to it is no more due to the individual's decision to return entirely to their personal life, then they are more vulnerable, I think, to the Callum God and his devices. But, of course, my own awareness or my connection to it isn't absolute. Far from it. I am going through my process too. Everyone has their views, and each are equally as valid as a means to experience and compare and become more aware through them. Maybe I will try and seek some validation on the real side in regards to this. So I do find it very fascinating. I'll keep you posted if I turn up anything that pertains to this subject. And this is about a little article I wrote about perceiving. As we know, when it comes to the is, and indeed all the life levels, it's a matter of recognition and perceiving. So here we are on the physical level. We have our physical senses. So we have the means by which to perceive what is, for our literal interpretation, level one. On each of the other life levels, there are the vehicles that correspond to them. It follows then that each vehicle will have its own particular means by which to perceive the life level it is in. The senses of the physical vehicle are absent beyond the physical, and so from the astral level to the causal, mental, etheric, and into the real universe, it becomes a perceiving. If one were to attempt to perceive a life level in the manner one would on a level different from it, one would see absolutely nothing. This then explains why a proportion of the real side dream experiences will be the guides taking the new students throughout creation and ultimately into the real universes, for the purposes of developing the ability to perceive each of these life levels. It's very conceivable at first that the guides will initially take an individual to the causal level, say, and they may be unable to see a thing. An adjustment period most likely then is afforded. I can imagine the individual in darkness, unable to perceive the level. Then they adapt and find their causal eyes, as it were, and the causal level is revealed to them. I remember reading in Dwayne's new books how he had to slowly adjust and make a subtle shift when entering the real universes. He had to find his perception, and it came to him, for he would have been well practiced in the art of being throughout creation and the real universes. This is indeed why a guide could take an individual and place them in the real universes. But unless said individual has practiced the perceiving of the true light reality, they will see nothing, so it would be rather pointless. In fact, with any life level, if an individual hasn't made the connection to the is and began exploring and learning to perceive each creational life level, then they will be unable to see a thing in any of them, apart from, say, the astral. But even then it can be surmised. There is no guarantee with even perceiving the astral. Picture an individual who is so fixated on their personal little life, and the physical level is all they focus on and consider, to the extent they may rigidly decide that nothing beyond the rock world they are on exists. Then that individual passes over. So rigid is their contention of nothing existing beyond the physical, it's possible then they are unable to see a thing on the astral. They will attempt to see it with their physical eyes. They no longer have their physical body, but so attached are they and so unversed in the practice of perception beyond the physical level, they will be unfamiliar with the subtle shifts in perception required to see beyond it. They would be effectively blind on the astral. They would be stumbling around in a mist, bumping into individuals and such. And depending on the extent of their self-imposed perceptual inadequacy, they may not even be aware of other people there or the fact they are bumping into them. I can imagine naughty individuals attaching astral kick-me signs to the oblivious individuals' backs. And yes, what we decide rigidly can be so. Duane told a harrowing tale of how individuals who believe adamantly that when they die they will be 6 feet under in a grave and rot for eternity, well, that is where they were. Trapped in a box and within a rotting corpse until they decide otherwise. Here's a real side dream Peter, my father, shared, where a blind girl had dreams. And so she was on life levels beyond the physical, but she was blind in her dreams too. On the surface, very peculiar. Her physical eyes are only designed to perceive the physical life level, so beyond the physical, she wouldn't require the mechanics of the physical body to perceive. Blindness should not affect her then in her dreams. But like the example of the individual fixated so strongly on the physical, it's possible the blind woman was very attached to her blindness and identified strongly with it. So in the dream arena beyond the physical, she was adamant she was blind still and could not bring her perceptual ability beyond the physical to bear. So most people at least will be able to perceive the level they will undoubtedly enter when they pass over the astral. But focus too would play a role. If a person is very unfocused and has considered nothing beyond the physical, and then suddenly the physical is gone, it's possible their experience in even the astral may be sketchy at best. They may swim in and out of the perception of it. Sure, they may adapt over time, but it could certainly be rather a surreal, floaty, and dreamlike experience for them, drifting through the duration of time they remain on the astral. Then, naturally, boredom sets in. They didn't take the time to recognise much beyond the physical, and they are even less likely to do so in a place that seems so dreamlike, surreal, and to them, unreal. Duane spoke about, in his new books, how he would see trains of individuals on the way to collecting their new bodies that they had created for themselves based on their degree of awareness and cause and effect, and how they seemed so vacant and distant and staring into the distance and unfocused. No wonder they drift back into a new unconscious lifetime. They can't expand further with their awareness. They have no knowledge of the process or how any of it works. They don't know where they are, where to go, or what to do, and may struggle to even perceive and focus on the place they now find themselves in. So they go back to what they know, what they are familiar with, unable to expand into their awareness further, they retract, diminish, and follow the familiar tugs of attachments and agreements that anchor them and pull them back to the rock worlds, where they can be asleep again in the passing dream, with no memory of this rather hazy, for them anyway, astral place, and immerse themselves once more in a created, unconscious, and controlled life. That is why all individuals who begin with the is, because that is every individual's starting place, must then go to the physical and start her position as something like an amoeba or whatever. Go through then the various positions and animal forms to assume eventually a more humanoid, reptilian or whatever form. Again, before beginning this process, an individual is completely aware, for you cannot be with the is if you are not. But they are unable to recognize it, to perceive it. That is why they must do this very long process of millions of lifetimes to eventually take on a form and position where free will kicks in. And now they are potentially poised to begin to recognize where they are and gather their causal level database of experiences which serve as comparisons, to then be chosen by the guides when they are ready and their karmic cause and effect debt isn't too vast to be unmanageable, and begin to be shown all the life levels, the real universes, to recognize and learn to perceive them all, and eventually return back to where they began, the is. For everyone is already there, but they can't recognize the fact. The awareness is required, coupled with the experience of learning to perceive these life levels. For up until the point an individual is granted free will, that individual is fully aware, but unable to recognize the fact that they are. So free will is essential as part of this process, but can also generally ensure we spend millions of lifetimes using it to create things, chase ideas and thrills that pertain to creation only. And so there we stay until we recognize our true, real intent, make the real connection, and begin the process of becoming more aware. To finish on this, when I used to do astral projections before I came to find the new presentation, I would experience something akin to what the blind lady would when she was dreaming. I would leave my body when doing my astral projections. I am now no longer in my physical body, so I am on the astral level at least. Generally, that is where an astral or out-of-body projector would find themselves. So having left my body, I can still see the house and the street, just as I left it on the physical. My perception of the astral hadn't kicked in yet. I was still trying to see through my physical eyes, and so effectively, as I still had a physical body. I was doing just that, I would suggest. I was on the astral, but seeing the physical. I could walk through the walls, though, like a ghost, because obviously I had no physical body now, so I was not constrained by the physicality of the house. But even that took me time initially to determine. I thought I was as equally restricted as on the physical. But then, possibly through intuitive or real self-input, I started pushing my hand through the very walls and found I could do this. This, again, would suggest that unaware people passing over, if they rigidly consider themselves to be as limited as they were on the physical, they would restrict themselves accordingly, and not be delighting in the flying and other movement by thought manipulation of the astral that most aware individuals would be demonstrating. Then after a while, my astral perception would kick in, and the house would naturally fade away, and I'd be in all sorts of exotic lands, places, and interacting with all manner of colourful and intriguing, some nicer than others, creatures and folks. But even after all my practices with astral projection, always I began at the place I initially projected from, then a subtle shift, as I adapt to perceiving the astral and off I go exploring. So you can see, astral projections of this kind do provide a valid experience and the opportunity to practice perceiving at least the astral, but that's generally as far as it can go. You tend not go beyond the astral. And a cautionary note. People who proclaim the harmless nature of astral projections are in fact misleading you. You can draw the unwanted attention of reptilians and all kinds of demonic creatures and entities, and they will attach to you and follow you back. And you can open portals through this practice that they utilize to invade your home and cause all kinds of mischief and mayhem. And yes, they can capture you on the astral too. They love naive individuals who project into the astral without the slightest inkling as to who or what is out there. I can say personally that I have been attacked through my out-of-body excursions, and creatures have attempted to seize and imprison me. Just like that series of movies, Insidious, where the little boy who was adept at astral projection was imprisoned on the astral by a demonic character and had to be rescued by another equally as adept traveller to the place she called the Over, but which would have been the astral. Nowadays, I don't pursue such practices. They can be experiences and beneficial, but are limited to the astral predominantly, and with the added risk elements I have outlined. You also can have your cord that extends from the body you've projected from severed, then you're not getting back. The real experiences that the guides provide are far more expansive in the awareness expanding potential they afford and the opportunity to explore more life levels than just the astral, and the opportunity to practice the ability to perceive them all. The guides, in fact, will put a stop to the more limited and riskier astral projections too, for the very reasons just revealed. The guides, the real you, and life knows what's best for you, but if you persist and ignore these gems of unparalleled wisdom, you are simply treading water and delaying your process. So even if you don't remember all your dreams, and who does, rest assured, you are being taken all over creations, all the life levels and the real universes, and you are gaining the experience to recognize and perceive them. That's assuming your real tent is established, and you are focused on your real awareness and making the connection to it, and the ears with the new you song. And so, when we all do pass over, if and when that occurs, it will, I think, be pleasantly surprising as to the recognition we have, compared to those who didn't take the time to recognise and connect with their real awareness. On a quick final additional note, you hear about those alien abductions that occur where the witnesses say they are pulled through what seems to be a physical ceiling in their homes. It seems then that would follow along the lines of an astral alien abduction. I suggest the majority of abductions occur on the astral, rather than great clanky spaceships that would be very apparent on the physical and give the game away. And that's why many don't remember the abductions. People very focused on the physical and people who are unaware would be equally as unaware of being abducted on the astral. Sure, they might get a few snippets of imagery, a few pieces of memory slipping through, and just like dreams, they disregard and don't pay attention to them. This enables abductions of an astral nature to go largely unrealized. So when you are, say, being pulled through a solid ceiling, evidently you are now on the astral, but not perceiving this life level, still perceiving the physical through your physical eyes, like in my astral projection experiences where I could still see the house. And then your perceptions may adjust, and suddenly all those little grey aliens appear and their spaceship. But not necessarily. It always depends on your awareness and your ability to perceive the life levels. And then to the individuals who didn't, who were unable to perceive the aliens and their spaceship, it may just seem to them to be a very frightful sort of a dream, with some vague notion of being dragged somewhere, assuming people can even remember that. Maybe they are just left with the impression of a nightmare. I'm sure they do have mind-blanking technology, but for me, with the mass of humanity being very unaware of the astral and the other life levels and unable to recognize and perceive them, this is a far better means to abduct individuals, as it goes under the radar of the vast majority. The awareness astral perceiving radar. And I thank you all for listening to my radio show. It went on a little longer than I anticipated, but nevertheless, I hope it was enjoyable and at least thought-provoking. So I shall finish with the New You song. New You, You, You. And so, from the little island of the UK, I bid you all farewell, and I look forward to speaking to you next time.